وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاك الله خير حضرت مولانا سلیم صاحب. Really appreciate your duas. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his choicest blessings on you. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Walladhina jahadu fina لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, today we bring you a story about the sacrifices of a noble lady, and her name was Hazrat Khansa radiallahu ta'ala anha. She was an eminent poetess in Arabia, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also praised the poetry. So Hazrat Khansa radiallahu ta'ala anha had immense love for her relatives and well-wishers. In fact, she reserved special affection for her brother Sakhr. Modestly speaking, he was an extremely valiant, intelligent, and a generous person. He also loved his sister a lot. So before Hazrat Khansa radiallahu ta'ala anha embraced Islam, her father married her off to a man who turned out to be a spendthrift later on. So he spent all the items of his house to cater to his wasteful nature. On this occasion, her brother helped her and gave away the better half of his wealth to his sister. The brothers must help their sisters. So in this way, her brother assisted her financially while she was in trouble. Friends, which sister would not bear affection towards such an adorable and helping brother? So during one of the battles, her brother Sakhr got terribly injured. A spearhead pierced his body and his lungs popped out of his body. So Hazrat Khansa radiallahu ta'ala anha was full of grief. She attended and looked after her brother for a whole year, yet he passed away. So Hazrat Khansa radiallahu ta'ala anha became extremely grief-stricken, and one day after she embraced Islam. So on another occasion, while the Persians were leading a tough battle against the Arabs, Hazrat Khansa radiallahu ta'ala anha participated in the battle along with her four sons. She urged her sons to sacrifice their lives for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She told them that the life in the Akhirah is a stable life as compared to the temporary phase of life in this world. So she recited the following verse: O you who believe, be patient and compete with each other in patience, and guard your frontiers, and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that you may be successful. All of her sons lost their lives. Hazrat Khansa radiallahu ta'ala anha felt relieved and contented. She said, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for He has blessed me with the sacrifices of my sons. So this should not sound amazing, because anyone who embraces Islam, his or her life undergoes a dramatic transformation, and they become committed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a courageous woman like Khansa could only have increased in her valor, heroism after becoming a Muslimah, that she was longing for the shahadat of her four sons. So you can imagine what a commitment they had to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we have a story which is quite interesting, of the carpenter. So a highly skilled carpenter who had grown old was ready to retire. So he told his employer of his plans to leave the house building business and live a more leisurely life with his family. He would miss the paycheck, but he needed to retire. So the employer was sorry to see his good worker go and asked if he could build just one more house as a personal favor. So the carpenter agreed to this proposal, but made sure that this will be his last project. So being in a mood to retire, the carpenter was not paying much attention to building this house. He built it haphazardly. His heart was not in his work. He resorted to poor workmanship and used inferior materials. It was an unfortunate way to end his career. I mean, all along, he built beautiful houses, you know, for the person he was employed by. And now, his employer asked him to build the final house, and he didn't put his heart into it. So it was an unfortunate way to end his career. So when the job was done, the carpenter called his employer and showed him the house. So the employer handed over some papers and the front door key to the carpenter and said, "This is your house, my gift to you." The carpenter was in absolute shock. What a shame. If he had only known that he was building his own house, he would have made it better than any of the other houses that he ever built. So our situation can be compared to this carpenter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us to this world to build our homes in paradise, to make that up by obeying the commands of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we have to decide how well we wish to build those homes wherein we will live forever. If we build it haphazardly, or if we don't build it at all, it shall be to our detriment. But if we will put our heart into it, then we shall reap the fruit of the reward of that fruit. Alhamdulillah. Then there's another story of the battle of the Ghazwa Badr, that during the preparations for Ghazwa Badr, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an saw two men from the enemy camp near Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One was a person from the Quraysh and the other was his slave. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an chased them. So the slave was caught, but his master got away. So when the Muslims interrogated the slave about the strength of the enemies, all that he could say was that they were in huge numbers and they had great strength. Muslims tried hard to make the slave reveal some sort of information, but he would not reveal anything, and he would not speak more than this, even when he was pressurized. So the Muslims took him to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also asked him the same question, but he could not reply more than these words, that they were in great numbers and they had great strength. So everyone asked him for the precise number, but he would not say more. So finally, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him how many camels they slaughtered for food, and he replied 10. So after this, hearing this, our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam pronounced that the enemies were 1,000 in number, as one camel can suffice for 100 men. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam indirectly extracted the information from this particular person. So here we can see that 10 multiplied by 100 gives 1,000. So this means that slaughtering 10 camels would give enough food for 1,000 men to eat for lunch and dinner. So it is indeed a miracle for someone who has not learned from any teacher to be so quick, you know, in sorting this out mathematically. In fact, without any formal education, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did trade. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was an ummi, but he was the most intelligent person. And once I remember, I heard a sermon and a lecture prior to the sermon, and the imam made a statement and he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ignorant. And I said, no, he was not ignorant. He was an unlettered prophet. So he was personally guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He never ever spoke of his own desires. It was revelation that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even conducted business on behalf of Hazrat Bibi Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. So if a person wasn't intelligent, he wouldn't be able to conduct business. And he had a very, very profitable business for Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha when he traveled to Yemen. So this was indeed a beautiful story about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then there's a story about Sana'a, you know, in the country of Yemen, from 3 miles away from its capital, Sana'a, there was a city by the name of Ma'arib, in which the people of Saba, the Queen Sheba, used to live. So the city was well located between two mountains, and water from rains used to come from the two mountains, leaving the city inundated. The city had the reputation of being the target of such floods. So rulers of the city built a strong and fortified dam between the two mountains. So this dam not only stopped the serial surges of flooded water, but also provided a permanent source of water for their farms and gardens. And it turned the place into a beautiful paradise. So the slopes of the two mountains to the left and the right of the city were landscaped with rows of gardens fed by canals of water. Trees and fruits of all sorts used to grow in these gardens so abundantly that a woman would walk with an empty basket perched on her head, and it would automatically get filled with fruits falling from the trees without the least need to make use of her hands. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made the city beautiful. It had a moderate climate without any extremes of heat or chill. So healthy, clean, and it was bracing to the extent that there was no trace of any harmful life, like mosquitoes, flies, fleas, snakes, and scorpions. In fact, when travelers from outside would reach the city, having lice or other harmful parasites in their clothes, these would die off as soon as they arrived there. It was a beautiful city, but the people lived there were ungrateful, and they denied the true faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent 13 prophets for their guidance, but they rejected all of them. So Allah sent blind rats upon their great dam, which weakened its foundations and made it hollow. So when came the time of rains and the flooding of water, the pressure of water broke through the already weakened foundations, creating gaps and crevices in the dam. Ultimately, the water collected behind the dam ran over the entire valley in which the city was located. Houses collapsed and the trees were uprooted. So the water feeding the two twin rows of gardens by the mountain also dried up. However, it was already predicted in their books that rats will destroy the dam. So when people saw rats near the dam, they were alerted by the danger. As a defensive measure, a large number of cats were released under the dam in the hope that they would stop the rats from coming close to the dam. But through the divine decree, the rats overcame the cats and entered into the foundation of the dam. So the Quran in Majid states, there was indeed a sign for the community of Saba in the homeland. Two gardens, one on the right and one on the left. Eat of the provision from your Lord and be grateful to Him. You have an excellent city and a most forgiving Lord. So then they turned away, so we sent to them the flood of the dam and replaced their two gardens with two gardens having fruits of bitter taste and tamarisk and some bushes of wild loads. So thus we punish them because of their ungratefulness. We do not give such a punishment but to the ungrateful. So this whole story is mentioned in Ma'ariful Quran. In other words, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala released over them the flood of the dam because they flouted the commands of Allah Ta'ala through their rebellion. So despite having such blessings and despite having been warned previously by the noble prophets, so we must always be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all His ni'mats and His blessings, and especially thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ni'mat of Iman. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.